Yes, praise the Lord. We're glad to be home. Little by little, getting over jet lag.
Oh boy.
Some people would be glad to wake up at 4:30 every morning. Okay, basically what this is I guess you can call it a series. It's I call it Signs of the End Time. But basically that takes in the whole Bible, so we can go anywhere we want to go for weeks and weeks and weeks. But what we're on now, what the Lord has focused me on now, is sonship. Okay? And another aspect of sonship, we did the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? And let's look at Romans 8, where it defines that sons are led by the Spirit. Okay? Now, there's several verses here in Romans 8. I suppose, let's start in verse 12, okay, just to put it in context here. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Okay, there's a contrast here. And there's a contrast among Christians as well. You can be a Christian and be a carnal Christian. You're still a Christian, but you're a carnal Christian. And as a carnal Christian, which what that means is living after the flesh, okay? If you will live after the flesh, you will be as a child, and you will not be a son of God, okay? You say, well, does it make a difference? Well, we all get to heaven. But, you know, there's a difference in being a son of God, and it's going to make a lot of difference when the time comes. Believe me, brethren, you will be so glad that you went all the way with the Lord. What is a carnal Christian? Well, I guess for any of us, look at our past. when we first came to the Lord, we were carnal. I don't know how long we stayed carnal. I guess it's a matter of how long you wanted to hold on to the old ways. You know, I guess I could describe some of my life in my late 20s, early 30s. I was not interested. I mean, the things of the kingdom, they weren't my passion, okay? I mean, go to church on Sunday, be a good boy, you know, obey the rules. But what did I do with all my time? I mean, I went to dog shows. I was busy trying to make my dog a champion. On my spare time, I was out fishing. My fish lure was tangled in the trees most of the time, but I was having a lot of fun, you know. And I mean, these kind of things, passion. And I lived for these things. I mean, it was my thing, my entertainment. I don't even know what I read. I don't think I have any of the books. I don't think they were bad, but my appetite has changed over the years. So let's put it that way. Now, I'm reading on here. You see, you go back in the context of that. It says, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." All right? And carnality, in the Word of God, carnality, flesh, where the term is used in the New Testament, it basically applies to God's people. The world is not usually defined in the terms of carnality and after the flesh. It's just plain lasciviousness, wickedness, you know. And sometimes Paul says, in time past, you went that way. Okay, but now we're talking about your soul has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're happy, you know, and your favorite song is, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands or something like that. You're just happy, you know, and you're glad to be a Christian. Okay, it says here, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, here, as I remember my my carnal days, and I can talk about it because none of you ever knew me in those days, so I can I probably could say worse things, but I won't. But to have a spiritual understanding, I didn't have it. I wanted to have it, but I didn't have it. I mean, there were things that there were. I clearly remember there were things in the Word that just absolutely did not, I mean, could not connect. For instance, I remember for years, it must have been for 10 years, I was wondering, what is the kingdom of God? I mean, it's so simple to me now. But for many years, I could not comprehend, what is the kingdom of God? I got that book about, you know, the kingdom of God in America. It was all about all these churches. I threw the book away. I said, that's not what I want. I knew that wasn't it, but I didn't know what it was. And I remember also, I think I was standing in my driveway one day and I was having an argument with God of some sort. And I said, God, what does this mean? You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I said, I know my feet are here. I remember stomping my feet on the ground or the driveway or something. I said, look, here's where my feet are. How can I be in heavenly places and be here? I mean, come on, God, make up your mind. Where am I? I just couldn't comprehend. You know, this is spiritual. You have to be spiritual to comprehend these things. And maybe it was in those days before I had gone up to Beaver Camp and asked these brethren if they would lay hands on me. I tell you what, boy, that changed my life. And I told everybody at the funeral, I said, I told them what happened. You know, in the whole Mennonite church, and there were unbelievers there. They were, you know, extended family of Paul, you know, and everything. But it changed my life to become a spiritual man. Okay, change my life. Amen. Somehow I believed that I would, if I died, I would go to heaven. Oh my goodness, as I look back now, I'm so glad I didn't die at that point. I mean, would I really have? I mean, was I really all out for Jesus? Now, Rita, on the other hand, boy, when she got born again, wow. I mean, it was light and darkness. You've heard her testimony. But it was just dramatic. And that's probably as dramatic as what happened to me when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must have got a lot of everything all at once, reader. You know, and you can, all right? We're talking about spiritual now. For to become, yes.
But if you're born again, you're going to heaven.
Yes.
Okay, you said...
Well, Larry, I didn't tell you the whole story. There was some backsliding.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I wouldn't have wanted to meet the Lord at some of those times. Okay.
Make sure that we all understood. You're born again, you're going.
Yes, I understand.
Maybe not in the condition you want to go, but
yeah. There would have been no crown or anything else at some of those points in time.
You would have been crawling in.
Yes. With help. Anyway, to be carnally minded is death. Now listen to what this is God speaking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. To be carnally minded is death. This is what I'm saying. I was carnally minded. There was too much death in me. Okay? The mercy of God spared me to let me go on to where there could be more life in me. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now he's talking about, what when he says to be minded, what is he talking about? What is the mind? The mind is the head of the soul, right? We do the little drawing here. The human soul. Mind. Which way is the emotions? Who knows? Mind, emotions, will, desires.
Is
Alright, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, this is the opening. This is the opening of your soul. There's a door. Actually, there's doors on all these sides. Every one of them has a door that can get into your soul. If you open the emotions, you can open your emotions to unclean spirits, and they'll be glad to come in. You can open your desires to the wrong things, and you'll be. You read the stories of who was the brother, Eby, Dr. Eby?
Well,
Dr. Eby,
yes.
That died,
yes.
in about 1941,
Return from Tomorrow.
Yeah, Return from Tomorrow.
Yes.
How he went in as a spirit.
Yes.
He left his body, soul. His soul left his body. Went into these bars in the naval bases of Virginia, I guess it was, Newport News, that naval area. Saw these military men there in the bar, and saw these spirits, men opening up, pass out, and he said something like a shield unzipped, and these alcohol spirits right in there, sir. The man had, now he had an alcoholic spirit. Not just his desire to drink, now he has a spirit prodding him on to drink. But, I mean, the flesh, okay, to be carnally minded. Okay, let me go on here. Now we get to the good news here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity. Who can give me a good definition of the word enmity?
Enemy is opposed to, against, an enemy.
It's
God. The opposite.
Mm-hmm. Force against.
God.
At odds with.
Yeah, I remember a lawyer giving a definition one time of a couple that were separated, and he said, I forget just the term, but he said they are separated with enmity. In other words, they are not at peace at all in this thing that's going on in their life. Separated with enmity. And what Paul is talking about here by the Holy Spirit is, do we want that kind of enmity between us and God? Okay? Children, born again, whatever. I don't want to be in a position where I am in enmity with God. He's trying to pull me into a spiritual line, and I'm trying to pull off over here into a flesh. The things of flesh appeal to me. You know, I want to go flesh, but I want God too. Okay? He says, to be carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This might be the, you see, we did a little drawing of the tabernacle here a while ago. Outer court, Christ in me. Okay, remember that? There's me, and there's, here, we'll do a little drawing. This is me. Oh, I'll have to make him with a skirt because it's easier. Me and Christ in me. I'll just make a bright spot in me. Christ in me, okay? Now, this me, you got to put a little smile on him here. This me, I go places where Christ doesn't want to go. I do things that Christ doesn't like. What's going to happen to the Christ in me? He's not going to be pleased. He's going to be grieved, okay? What happens if I keep grieving him? You know, it's just like sin. I don't know if any of you ever experienced sin in your life. Probably most of us did at one time or another. I don't know if you can remember anything about your sin, but the first time you partake of something that you know it's wrong, But, and the first time you do that, the Holy Spirit is just screaming. I mean, red lights flashing all over the place, just screaming. And you say, well, I think I can do it. I mean, yeah, I'll go ahead. And you do it. And by the way, I don't know of much sin. I didn't mean to talk about sin today. I don't know about much sin that does not first enter the imagination of your mind. I don't think there's much that you just happen to be bobbing along. Whoops! All of a sudden, there you are. There had to be some kind of imagination about what would happen if, you know, you're thinking of these things. Now, come on, the imaginations, these are fed by demons, okay? But Christ in me, okay? Now, in the holy place, where we come into the holy place, as a holy place people, we're different people than outer court people. Okay? Here in the holy place, you read Brother DeSeel's book, The Pattern, dead men, only dead men enter the holy place. And I read that and I thought, whoa, what do you mean? You got to be dead. Dead to what? You know, here I am 17 years later, still pondering, what did God mean when he said to me that day that I was on my way to the hospital, that he said, for you are dead? What did he mean? And now I'm beginning to think, I think it was good news. I think it was good. I didn't understand it at the time, and I could have just as easily died in the natural. Well, God said I'm dead, I might as well. But no, I can hear people. People are talking. Nurses, doctors yelling over me, you know. I'm still here. But what did he mean? And then I'm thinking, but isn't there something more to that verse? And your life is hid with God in Christ. So he only quoted half the verse again. But the part that he wanted me to know. So, dead men. Now, here we go with the Christ in me. Now, it's in this place, you're in Christ. The holy place is in Christ. This is the outer court. The holy place is in Christ. Now, if I'm in Christ, what's the difference? Now, I am in Christ. That's supposed to be Christ. I don't know how to draw a picture of Christ. I am in Christ. I don't go where I want to go anymore. I don't do what I want to do anymore. I don't, you know, my expensive hobbies don't mean a thing to me anymore. Give it up. They have no interest to me anymore. It's not that they were wicked or evil or anything like that. They were flesh. They were carnality. So now, where he goes, I go. Because I'm in Christ. Okay? Alright, now, the point we're looking for here, we'll get over here to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. See, how do we say this? I didn't write it. This is what it says. If you live after the flesh, you will die. No, this doesn't mean the good kind of death. This doesn't mean dead to self, dead to your old ambitions. This means die, okay? If you live after, okay? Now, I cannot avoid partaking of some carnal things in my life. I have to eat, sleep, you know, what have you. That's carnal. The activities of life. But if I live after that, in other words, let's take food, for instance. Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? You see the difference? If I live for the gourmet food, that's all I have to have. You know, it's gonna lead me to death. But if I eat to live, it's a necessary thing, part of life. But it's not. I don't live for that. Okay. For as many as are shall die. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So, in other words, there's something, as sons of God, there's something that we have to do about the deeds of the of what? What does it say here? The deeds of the body. There's something that we have to do to make a decision. In other words, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to do something about our will. We're going to have to do something about our desires. We're going to have to do something about bringing into control our emotions, because this is our soul. This is what God wants to save. He's not primarily interested in saving my flesh. Yes, he's good to me. He heals me. He does all that. But the main thing is he's after my soul. And I was thinking a strange thought on the way down here this morning. I was thinking of people that I've known that have gone handicapped, have gone to wheelchairs, have gone blind, Christian people. And I don't know why, but I'm thinking, God, if that's what it takes to get them saved, is God still good?
Yes, all the time.
If the only way he could save me was to take away my natural eyesight, if that was a hindrance to me, and he had to do it, if my ability to walk and run and all that was going to keep me from the kingdom or even from sonship, I said I want to be a son, would he not allow that to be taken from me? Would I not, in million years of eternity, would I not come to him and say, thank you for what you did to me when I was there on earth, thank you for that terrible sickness that you allowed to come on me, it really stirred me, it really got me going, I needed a wake up call, God, oh thank you so much. In this present time, I'm grieved about it, okay, it irritates me, it's a thorn, you know. But it's bringing my attention back to the kingdom of God, to the spiritual things. We're talking about the making of sonship here. Amen? Did you ever think of a thing like that? Anything that happened to you? Did you ever think that God is doing this in answer to my prayer? Mm-hmm. You were sharing something like that a few months ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
With what you were going through.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily like it, you know, in my body. But I just kept hanging on to a verse you're going to get to here.
Oh, we're going to get there.
God works all things together for good.
Amen.
For those who love him and are called upon his purposes. So God's hand is upon every aspect of our life.
Yeah.
Nothing happens that it doesn't... doesn't go by the throne of God. And it's for, and Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts for good and not for evil.
Yeah.
To bring you to an expected end.
Amen.
So, yeah. What are you doing? You see a little grandmother, a mother, and a little girl, probably 3 years old, one of those horizontal carriages in the store today. And she's got cerebral palsy. I thought she was walking, but she's like that. I look at that and I go, that on my readings and things, it's just like, why does this happen to a little thing like that? And where there would be people out there, the other political forces would have, she should have been aborted.
There was a woman,
that through life.
There was a woman one time named Joni somebody. Did any of you remember that woman?
Mm-hmm.
She was an up and coming star. And she went and dove into a pool and ended up paralyzed from the neck down. Do any of you remember that story?
Yeah.
But she gave her testimony. She said, I was going the wrong way. And God had to do this to arrest me and put me back on the right track. John, I don't know the answer to little ones, but God does. He's wise.
I'm questioning things. I'm like, why is this happening to us, a child?
All we can do is know that God is good.
Yeah.
He's never evil.
And they,
he has no evil intent toward us.
They were so attentive to this little girl about, you like this, you like that, not that.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll get down to some of these verses Larry's looking for here.
Yeah.
It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the, you want a definition for sons of God? Led by the Spirit of God. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God?
To let him only hide your will.
Who said that? Oh, you did. Okay. Say it again.
To give him permission to override your will.
Okay. That means that we have sometimes a strong will that isn't necessarily bent in the right direction.
I mean, that's just part of it.
Sure.
You probably have a very in-depth description.
Oh, no, this is a good one. Yeah.
Oh, in-depth, I mean.
Yes. My will. Well, what is the picture of the will, by the way, in Ezekiel? The will is the ox, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mind is what?
Man.
Eagle.
The emotions is the lion.
Mm-hmm.
And the desires?
Man.
Okay. This eagle of my mind, where's your mind been going today? Been floating off here, off there, thinking on some strange, oh, bring it back, you know. Yeah, desires. Man is the one with desires. Cow, just more grass. Sometimes water, grass, water, grass. Calf, yeah, very simple. Man has so complicated.
Man is the only thing God created that can desire heaven and hell at the same time.
That's right. I have half a mind to want to go for heaven. You know, man says he has a half a mind. Well, what is he? James says he's double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all this has to be brought into submission if we want to be sons of God. Okay, to be led by the Spirit of God, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And by the way, that word is sons. There are clearly different words in the New Testament. There is huios, which is sons, and technos. Did I get them right, Larry? You're the Greek man here. Technon.
Son.
Huios, yeah.
And technon.
And technon, yeah. You have better pronunciation of the language there. That,
well,
yeah.
That's my understanding.
Yes, and these words are used, and sometimes the wrong one is put in, okay? Like in Matthew 13, where it says that the children of God, I think, are the good harvest. No, it's sons. The word is sons. And likewise, the tares, it says, are the children of the evil one. No, no, the word is sons. There's a fullness of maturity there in that description. Sonship is coming to maturity. And by the way, there's another side of sonship. The devil is going to have his sons too. Those who are at the height of the practice of wickedness and unrighteousness. They're high in politics, they're high in finance, they're the movers and shakers behind the scenes of the kingdom of this world. They are there, moving and shaking. The strings are being pulled by the power of darkness. But they're coming to a maturity of wickedness and evil. And we are coming, brethren, to a maturity of righteousness and the kingdom of God, sons of God. Sons mean like Him.
Amen.
Amen. So, and let's get down. Now, verse 17, where it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. That is children. That is children. Amen. And now with, for I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Glory to be revealed in us. What is glory? Who is glory? What's His name?
Jesus.
Jesus is the glory. Jesus revealed in us. You see, when it says to be revealed, what does that imply? It implies that it's being hidden at this point. It's down there. It is. I mean, what's going to happen? Woo! All of a sudden, that thing's going to come out. I mean, no. God is. There's going to be a trumpet sound. Not a natural trumpet, but the sons of God are going to hear some kind of a voice of God. Time to arise. Amen. Time to take the kingdom. Time to move on out. Amen. Time that the rules are going to be changed, that they're not going to be able to persecute you and tribulate you and throw you in prison and take your life away. There's coming a time when the rules are going to change. Revelation 11. I keep coming back to that. You know, just reading it doesn't mean you're qualified to be of the two witness company. You have to qualify as the sons of God. And of course, we have to get rid of all these carnal feelings, these emotional bondage that we've got about other people. I don't like him. I don't like him. No, we got to get rid of that. We have to guard our heart continually. Guard our heart. Amen. So, spirit control. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Let me just give you a couple of them here. Acts chapter 16. This is when Paul and Barnabas, I think it's Barnabas, or no, Silas, Paul and Silas. Barnabas had gone another way. Okay, chapter 16, back to verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. All right, here's these saints, okay? I don't know which direction is which, but I'll just make... They came from a certain direction, okay? This thing's running out of gas, isn't it? Okay, they came from a certain direction. Oh, I got more here. And it says they wanted to go this way. And the Spirit said no. They wanted to go this way. The Spirit said no. They came down here and they had a vision. And the man in Macedonia said, come on over and help us. Now, this is a vision. This is a dream. I don't know what it is. Let's call it a dream. What is it called here?
Vision.
A vision. Oh, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. That's a dream, isn't it? Yeah, a night vision, a dream. Now, in your dreams, you have a knowing. I don't think the man said or had a sign, hi, I'm from Macedonia, you know, or anything like that. There's a knowing of the Spirit that says, that man from Macedonia. You know, sometimes you have a dream, you know you're in a certain place. You don't know how you know, but you just know that you're in a certain place. And the Spirit gives you the understanding of that. Now, this is one example of being led by the Spirit. Okay? They're missionaries. You know, wouldn't God be just as blessed if they went that way as they went that way? You know? No. They wanted to go where God wanted them to go when. They were going to go where Christ is going to go. Okay? And they are in Christ, so Christ says, come here by the Spirit. This is where we want to go. You know, and that includes our works for the Lord. The things that we do, the work. Amen? We're not working to get saved, but the works that we do for the Lord, if you're not called to do something, it isn't going to turn out real good if you try to do it. You try to do some ministry you're not called to, it's just going to fall flat on the face. Get into the Spirit where God wants you to be. Amen. All right. And there's something else in chapter 16. I thought there was. Okay. So, yeah, they went the way the Lord wanted. John chapter 5. Oh, but while we're still in Acts, turn over to chapter 28. Before we get out of it. That's the last chapter, chapter 28 in Acts. And look at verse 24. Now, Paul is preaching, and I believe he's in Rome. It says, and some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. What made the difference? It's still the Word of God. I mean, it's the same Word of God that is being preached to some who believed and some who didn't believe. What was the difference?
Condition of their heart, maybe.
Yeah. Some were destined for sonship. Others were not going to believe. All right. Some believed, some did not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost of Esaias the prophet unto the fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Two of the songs we sang this morning involved seeing and hearing. Do you remember? He that hath ears to hear and eyes to see. And there were, what was the other song? There were two of them. I remember two of them. Yeah, but that was one, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. But there was one of the other songs also, the same thing. You can be hearing it and not hear it. You can see it and not see it. And this is what we're talking about being spiritual. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Somewhere I read, and I don't know where it was, that a good substitute word for that, being led by the Spirit, would be under the government of. You're governed by the Spirit of God. Not, see that, and I think that's a little bit different than, well, I'm led today and I won't be led again for another month and then I'll get another. No, I'm under the government of. I'm always in. Who was using that term at the Luton conference about Esther? Esther was put in custody of the chief eunuch. She went in custody. What? Yeah, it was Brother Ikey. Was using that word. I'm in custody. She's talking about Esther being among the sons of God. How would you like to be put in custody? You probably have been, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in custody, you're very controlled. You don't have a will. You don't have a mind of your own today I want to go out and do this. No, you're not. You're in custody. Esther had to submit to being in custody if she was going to be a queen. Amen? And she was chosen because she submitted to the custody
of Haggai.
Haggai. Yeah, Haggai.
Which represents the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's a good word that Ike brought in Luton.
Prepared for the bride, for the king.
Yes.
Which is bride, the church for Christ.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Amen. So, okay, then the next verse is, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Look at that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Even ties healing into it, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, that verse has always bothered me. It seems so contrary to God, right? You're not willing that any should perish, right? But here it just seems like,
when he puts these conditions in, it's always bothering to the human understanding. He puts conditions. We don't like it, but they're there, and we can't change it. All right. So, did I read? Yes, I read that. Okay, I want to go to John. We have a couple of other verses here. John chapter 5. And let's look at verse 24. Okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. There he's talking about life again. Life, death, life, death. What is the condition of life? Hearing, believing, and of course if you hear and believe, you're going to do something about it. We have to make some response. God does not just grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you in. He calls you, and you must respond willingly. He will not force you. Okay? And if we depart from Calvin on that, I'm sorry, but you have a say in your salvation. Okay?
Grace will be saved through faith.
That's right.
Not works, but...
So faith without works is death.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
And to every man hath he given a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously up to you to turn the key and use it.
Okay.
You have it.
If you love me, you keep my commands.
That's right. Yeah, all these conditions that Jesus throws in there, it all fits. Amen. Verily I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, believe on him that sent me. Which is who?
The Father.
The Father. If you don't believe on him, you don't believe in God. In other words, you're an atheist. Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, this word dead, there's many meanings to the word dead, aren't there? Spiritually dead. The spiritually dead. Your soul is dead without the blood of Jesus Christ. It is your soul that gets quickened. Not your flesh, not your spirit. Your spirit is incorruptible. It's going to go back to God when you die, no matter how wicked you are. It says it in Ecclesiastes. A man dies, his spirit goes back to God who sent it. That spirit that is in you is the radio crystal tuned to heaven. Okay? I know that's a carnal way to say it, but that's all I can say. It is God's... it is set to hear God. If you don't use it, it's going to go back. That spirit isn't going to go to hell with you. Your soul will, if you don't use it. Okay. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have the life in himself. See, how far was I going to read? Oh, I'm going to read a few more verses. He and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all they that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So it's not just the spiritually dead, it is every dead is going to hear that voice. There's going to be two resurrections, you know. Well, actually I can identify five, but we'll talk about just the two. There's going to be a general resurrection of the dead, and the first resurrection, he that hath part of the first resurrection, blessed is he, okay? And he rules and reigns with Christ 1,000 years. But the second, there's another call, and it's going to bring up the unrighteous from the grave also, and they will stand before the judgment of God, and then death and hell are cast into Hades, or Gehenna. All right. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. There's the perfect example of a model Son of God. This is where our sonship has to take us, into this kind of a posture. John has got a lot of good things. Turn over to chapter 10. And this is the Good Shepherd. I don't think this is a parable. I think this is just talking. I'm the Good Shepherd. Amen? Let me read the first few verses. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. All right. What is entering into the door?
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus. Amen. I am the door. Now, he didn't say, I'm the doorkeeper. He didn't say, I'm the door opener. He said, I am the door. Okay? So if you're going to enter in, you go what? Through him. Right through him. It's a spiritual picture. It's not a natural picture. You have to go through him. The only way I can kind of describe this, I remember years ago somebody, we wanted to do something and we had a boss, you know. They said, well, if you're going to do this, you have to go through Mr. Big, you know. Oh, we have to go through Mr. Big to get this done. Yep, you have to go through Mr. Big. So, no, we don't physically go through him, but we go through him because he calls all the shots the way it's going to be done. Okay? So, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Wonder who the porter is.
Holy Spirit.
Must be. Yeah, the Holy Spirit opens that. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out.
It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into Christ.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. he opens the door.
Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. Okay? So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit can take place out here in the outer court. Yeah, I was an outer court man when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I didn't get baptized into Christ right away. It took a little while for me to want to get into this, to where I was really going to be in Christ. And I remember the day I made the decision. I said, from this day forth, no turning back. I'm going all the way. And that's the part that the devil didn't want. Mm-hmm. The devil didn't mind my getting saved. Not too much. He didn't really mind my getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. He can still go do what he wants to do. But when I made a decision after that I was going to follow Christ and never turn back, that's when the mouth of hell opened up against me. Mm-hmm. He did not like that at all. You know, was it Brother Martin in the Czech Republic? that said when he first began to hear this message, that he went for a little walk in the woods nearby. You've heard this, haven't you, Larry? Brother Martin, you've heard it, Rita. And he met a man, a spirit man, I guess. And the man said to him, "Look, I don't mind, we don't mind if you want to be born again. We don't mind if you want to be baptized. In fact, we don't mind if you even want to be a pastor. But if you're going to hold on to this message that you're hearing, we will have you killed." Is that about the way you remember it? Whoever sent me is going to have you killed, or something like that. And he knew that it was, well, he hasn't been killed. But in other words, it was like a mafia boss putting a contract out. In other words, if you're going to go this message, we've got a contract out on your head. And you're going to come into tribulation, you're going to come into warfare such as you've never known. But you go ahead and be a good old boy Christian if that's what you want to be. We don't care. You know. In fact, Brother DeCille is fond of saying the devil couldn't beat the church, so he joined the church. You remember him saying that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. And boy, is he having a lot of success these days. All right, did I finish this? No, there's a few other verses. We're talking about the third verse. "The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." This is hearing. This is being the sons of God walking by the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. They are under the government of the Spirit. They hear the voice of the Spirit. And if you cannot hear the voice of the Spirit, you need to get down before God and you need to just demand that I will not get up until I can hear the voice of the Spirit. And you know what? If you press, if you demand, I am a son of God. I have a right to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, as I did shortly after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He did come and he spoke, and you know what? He can get through to you. It doesn't matter how thick. I thought I was so thick I could never hear the voice of the Spirit, but I tell you what, he can get through. He knows how. All right, so that was verse 3. There's another verse down here. We go way down to verse 27. Well, let's go to verse 25. This is interesting. Oh, verse 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." I mean, this is as clear as I can say it. Well, no, he could say it more clear. But for those who don't want to hear, this is a word. Look at what I'm doing. Is this not the Father? Okay. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." If you're not the sheep, you are not going to believe no matter what you see. Isn't that what Jesus said to the parable of... No, it wasn't a parable. I think it really happened. Of Lazarus and the rich man. Well, the rich man was saying to Abraham, "Send Lazarus back. I've got some unbelieving brothers." And he said, "No. They have Moses, they have the prophets. If they can't believe, how will they believe if one come back from the dead?" And said, do you think, yeah, this is true. Do you think if somebody actually came back from hell and preached, everybody would surely believe and say, that man's been to hell? You know, this is...
miracles on saved people.
Yeah. And coming back and telling what hell is like, it isn't going to save a lot of people. This is the first thing that I... After I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is one of the first things I wanted to do. I heard somebody gave me a little flyer when we were living in Glens Falls, and I read the flyer. It was Kenneth Hagin, and I read his little story that when he was a teenager, he went to hell, and God called him out of hell. He wasn't saved, by the way, as a, I don't know what he was, 13, 14 years old, and he began crying for the Lord, crying for the blood, crying for Jesus, and the Lord, just the voice of God, just brought him right up out of hell. Well, I said, whoa, man, it's been to hell. I want to hear that man. That's why I wanted to go see him. And I was curious. You know, it was a carnal mind that I had at the time. And I was so curious, I couldn't find out where he was going to be. So I picked up the phone, I went in the Yellow Pages, and I looked up churches. And I found a Baptist church, and I thought, well, good pastor, he'll know where this guy is. You know, these guys all love the Word of God, you know. I'm telling you how naive I was. So I called the pastor, and I says, where's this Brother Hagin going to be, pastor? So I said, I got a flyer that's going to be somewhere in the area here. Where's it going to be? He said, oh, brother, you want to avoid that man. That's not good. You don't want to go there. And I hung up. I said, yeah, I want to go there. I want to find out what he didn't like about him. But it was God. It was at that meeting. I don't know what Hagin preached, except to say faith, faith, faith. I remember he said faith a lot. That isn't why I was there. I had my little daughter, little Care, in my arms. She must have been about 3, and had a little lump in her neck. And he said, "Well, I'll pray for anybody who has a lump in their neck." So I took him up, you know, and he's down the line, laying hands on everybody, and he's really going down the line, you know. Gotta have faith, gotta have faith, you know. Down the next one, and he looks at me and he says, "Well, son, you gotta have faith. Can't doubt. Be faith, be healed." Down the line he goes. I mean, he was really going down the line. So I go back to my seat, and I'm really pumping faith, you know. Faith, faith, faith. Can't doubt, can't doubt. No unbelief. It won't happen today. Next week. Just don't look at it. Looking will be doubt, you know. But I couldn't help. We're walking out. You know, I slide my hand. First, I just love my little daughter. We're walking. Yeah, she's about this big. And you know, walking along, and my hand just kind of slides down the side of her face. Well, I can love my little daughter a little bit. That won't be doubt, you know. And my hand slides along, you know, and I feel of her. Honey, come over here. Sit down. I examine her real good. The lump is gone. Gone, gone. Just like that. In minutes, it's gone. Now, I was a public health nurse. I know these things don't go away that fast. They take a long time to go away. Swollen glands, they don't go away in minutes. And this is why I said to God, she wouldn't have died. Nobody was on their deathbed. God just decided to be good to me. I just tested him. And he decided to be good to me. I mean, there have been a lot of things I've asked for, miracles, I didn't get them like that. But he got my attention. And I said, God, that's where I said, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm never going to turn back. No more backsliding. No more coldness of heart. No more wandering off to other hobbies and what have you. I'm going for you. Just a simple little thing. And I began to hear the voice of God because I made that choice. Did I read the verse I was after? Verse 27. Did I get down there? You believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice, and I know them. That means he knows you. You know him. You know his voice. He knows you. Now, the sons of God, we should not be confused with another voice. There are counterfeit voices. Screaming, crying, whispering, mumbling. You've got to learn You've got to learn to hear the voice of the Father. Jesus never... Yes, he knew the voice of the devil. And he knew the difference between the voice of the devil and the voice of the Father. And he would not follow the voice of the devil. Yeah, Peter spoke the voice of the devil to him. Nay, Lord, let it not be of thee. And what was his response? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Jesus wasn't politically correct, was he? The way he talked. Oh, you rebuked your good disciple, Peter. No, I didn't. I rebuked the devil. Would your Christian brethren love you if you told them that? Well, I didn't rebuke you, sister. I was rebuking that devil that was speaking through your mouth. What kind of a crackpot is he? Who do you think he is? You know? John 12. We got another verse here. John 12, 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen. Revelation 3, and we'll take a couple then from another one from Hebrews. We'll go over to Revelation for just a minute. You know this one. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And here I am reading it, and I'm not even there. Revelation 3. There we go. Yeah. Oh, let's do verse 19 first, because we were just talking about that. As many as I love, I rebuke. Do you get rebuked of the Lord? How do you get rebuked of the Lord, by the way? Donkey.
Could be failure.
Yeah, you know what? Some old sinner might rebuke you. Donkey.
Donkey, yeah.
Who is he to rebuke me? I needed it. The sinner rebuked me. Did you ever get rebuked by a sinner? Oh, yeah. It's the Lord, sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, you see the picture of Jesus standing and there's a man's heart, you know, and there's a door to his heart. You've seen these little pictures, haven't you? And he's knocking to get into your heart. But what is the real scene here? The real scene here in Revelation is he's talking to a church. He's talking to how shall we describe this Laodicean church? A backslidden church system. And he's saying, I'm still at the door. I'd like to get in. But where is he? He's not in. He's not in that church. He's outside the church, asking, will you invite me in? If you hear, see, and there's that if you hear, and apparently they haven't been hearing the knocking of the Lord to try to get in.
That's the church in America.
Well, it's not just in America, yes, but it is in America, yeah.
But I mean, predominantly, that's what you have in this country.
Yes. But it's other places. That's Laodicea spirit is all over. Hebrews 5. We're going to come to an end here. Hebrews 5. Just one verse. Oh, let's go to verse 8 to just get it in. Though he were a son, that's Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Do you ever learn obedience by suffering?
Yeah.
Why did Jesus need to learn obedience? That's a mystery to me.
Because he's Italian.
Because what?
I'm just guessing, because he's like a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. He was born of the same kind of flesh and chemistry that we're born of. So, yes, if he's to identify to be tempted in all ways like as we, then he would have to go through the same temptations. He wrestled with the same body chemistries, hormones, what have you, that we that move try to move us this way and that way. Yeah, he did. And he learned obedience. But you know what? He did obey. He didn't fail in obedience. So you can learn it and still not fail at it. You'd be a perfect student. Perfect student. Yeah. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And we go down here to verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. How would you like to get that letter as a church from the apostle? What? Our whole church? God, is that us? For when for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 14, for strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. See, he's talking about maturity and sonship. Listen, if you're offended at the word sonship, you're going to have to get over it, because it's all over in the Bible, especially the New Testament. I mean, it is, well, what is this thing about bringing many sons to glory? That's is sonship. Maybe I'll just finish. Oh boy, I'm sorry. We've gone a little over my time. I would just finish with one verse in Matthew 7, because it isn't just hearing; it's obeying. Verse 21: Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So just saying it, there's a lot of charlatans that are able to say it. You know, you can teach a parrot. You can teach a parrot. Jesus. You know. Thank you, Jesus. You can teach a parrot to say things like that. Doesn't mean a thing. Just nothing but a little recording. Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day. You know what day that is. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? This isn't people of the world. It's church people. And by the way, you notice Jesus isn't arguing with them and saying, no, you didn't cast out any devil. No, you never, no. He's not telling them they didn't do that. He's saying, this is what they will say to me. This is what some of you will say to me. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity. Iniquity is what? Iniquity. Lawlessness. Doing your own thing. Doing what I want to do. And doing what I want to do is contrary to they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God and do what you want to do. And the last verse, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to the wise man that built his house on a rock. And I don't go any further. You know the story. God bless.